Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Tigress. We have a very exciting episode today talking about a theme that I've been asked about a lot on TikTok recently, which is wanting more detail about the relationship with my sisters. For those of you who are new here, I am the oldest of three daughters. I am the oldest of three girls, badass girls. So I have two little sisters, Amaya and Issa. I'm 24, Amaya is 22, and Issa is 19. So we have a two-year age gap between me and Amaya, and then a three-year age gap between Amaya and Issa. And I have a very different relationship with both of them. Like, Amaya and I are learning to become friends again after not talking for, like, 10 years, after 10 years of her, like, very much resenting me and me feeling guilty and unsure of why she was angry at me, so then I was angry at her. It was, like, a whole shit show. But we're good now. And my relationship with Issa is very different because I think that we were always the opposite of that. Issa and I feel like we're never really competing. And I have been told by my mom and my therapists that I like babied Issa and like overprotected her. And then whenever there was like drama in the family, it was always like, oh, well, Issa's just going to do what Nadia's going to do, because we were like really close. But Issa's also like the wisest one of us all. Anyways, Issa has joined me on the podcast today so that we can talk a little bit about this oldest, youngest child dynamic, our relationship, and just like how we fit into being an oldest child and a youngest child. So, Issa, the spoiled one of the family, how are you?
We're going to debrief that all today.
We're going to debrief everything I said. First of all, Issa, I would like to know what your first reactions are to what I just said.
Nailed it. After 14 years of family therapy, I think we have that brief pretty down.
Yeah.
You know? New therapist. You got to give the rundown.
It is true. Every time we go to a new therapist, it's like, okay, so here's one sister. The problem that I have with this sister is this, this, and this. And the problem that I have with this sister is this, this, and this.
And then you get the dynamics down. And then one time they said this. And then the other time I reacted this way. But I know that was bad. But this is how we're going to fix it now.
Like, whenever we go to family therapists, it's a lot of us talking and self-diagnosing. Mm-hmm. Because we've gone to so much therapy.
But that's an important point, because on TikTok and stuff, we get a lot of like, oh my God, like you guys have the best relationship. I wish I could be there. I wish I could be there with my sisters. Like I, you know, want to reach out. This makes me want to reach out to my sister. But like, it took us so much work to get to where we are. Like, I mean, you and Amaya, like you said, are just getting there.
Yeah.
Like we've worked at this. And I feel like you and I are transitioning out of somewhat of an unhealthy amount of dependency. And like we're kind of transitioning into being friends. Because I know you said that like we've always been friends. But I mean, it's always been kind of like a power dynamic between us.
Because I'm the oldest.
Yeah. But like, you know.
In what way?
How like. Have you ever seen the movie Life is Beautiful?
Yeah.
Okay, gorgeous, gorgeous movie. One of my favorite movies of all time. Like, that whole thing is in Italian, and I could watch it without subtitles.
Okay.
But anyway, for listeners, gist of the movie is it's about a father and son who are sent to a concentration camp during World War II. And the dad creates somewhat of, like, a game out of everything that they're going through. He creates, like, a point system, a reward for this child. Like, and it kind of creates this fantasy world that they're living in while they're going through hell. And I feel like watching that movie, that was the first time that I had seen that kind of trauma bond kind of represented in the media. And seeing that, I remember a few months after I had therapy, and I was like, finally clicked. It finally clicked to understand our dynamic. Because for months I was like, everyone keeps telling me that I experienced it less. You know, everything with our dad. Everyone was like, Issa, you were protected. Like, you're fine. Because it's right. Like you said, I'm the wisest one. I've done so much work to not have a mental disorder. And I say that with so much love. Like, I am the only one in our family without a mental disorder. And which I'm so grateful for. But for months, I was like, I kind of resented that because I was like, everyone is kind of devaluing my abuse story. However, after watching that movie, I was like, no, they're kind of right. Like, while I went through all of this shit with you guys, I feel like you and Amaya, but I will say, like, especially with you, you kind of created that fantasy world for me. And like I remember, didn't we have a war game? Like, we had a sister war game where when we heard screams and punches and when we like heard a lamp crash, like, we would snap into characters and pretend like we were in a war.
Well, we would hide under mom's desk.
We would hide under mom's desk. Yeah. And I say, and I mean, like, I don't compare our situation with this movie lightly, like, at all. But, like, I remember pretending like we were army crawling. And I mean, this game was based off of stories we heard from Mama when she lived in Taiwan during the war. But, like, we would pretend to army crawl between desks and couches while, like, our parents were screaming and fighting. And I remember, like, while I stayed in character, I would, like, grab your hand and you'd be, like, kind of that rock in reality. And, like, that was kind of a huge support. Like, for me to understand that has really helped me, like, just heal and kind of be able to show you, I don't know. Like, now.
How do you think that manifested, like, as we got older and out of that situation?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Because, like, I feel like now we're just sort of transitioning out of that dynamic. And, like, we talked about this a lot in the Disowning podcast, where, like, I feel like I'm now showing you guys that I'm not only, like, able to take care of myself, but I can also protect you guys from things now.
Yeah. And stuff like that. I do think that for a long time, like, I mean, probably until you were, like, 5 feet tall.
We say like so much.
I know, we do say like a lot. Probably until you were about 5 feet tall, I think that I always physically with you was very used to picking you up.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I would see you in school when we were in elementary school or at summer camp or when I was in middle school and you would come home on the school bus, a lot of our dynamic, even like physically, was me picking you up. And I was 5 years old when you were born. Yeah. So I very clearly have probably one of the few positive memories in my childhood that I concretely remember is mom going into labor, me being allowed to pack all my stuff up and then making fun of Amaya that she couldn't come to the hospital when you were being born. And then I was so angry because me and dad fell asleep while mom gave birth to you. But then I got to be like the first person to hold you. And it was just like super, super exciting. But I think because of that, you were very much introduced to me as like my baby sister. Like, I was five, I was walking and I could pick you up as an infant. And then as we got older, I was always like picking you up and carrying you places.
Yeah.
And
I feel like this had such an impact on you and Amaya's relationship because I don't know you guys like solo. Like, obviously I'm the third born, but like you guys had 3 years alone together. And then I entered into the picture. And like, one of the first photos of me ever is Nadia like holding me so tight with her shoulder to Amaya. Yeah. And Amaya's like sitting there with like really big sad baby eyes because Nadia's like shoving me aside and like protecting me almost, it looks like, from Amaya. And I feel like maybe we should debrief this with Amaya.
Yeah, but no, like, we definitely will.
That was that's a staple family photo.
Well, and I think that this is part of it, which is like, I definitely was that spoiled only child for 2 years. And then here comes along Amaya taking my spotlight. So I was like upset at Amaya. But then Issa was born and it was like Issa was my sister. So there was definitely some of that like triangulation from an early age, which obviously we've talked about in therapy. But I guess But the thing is like, I always knew that you were capable and smart, but I do think that, I mean, we haven't lived together in 6 years after I graduated. It was more like when I graduated high school, you were in middle school. So I think it was kind of like you were frozen in that sense, like for a little while.
And thank you for highlighting that I am capable and smart.
Yeah, you are capable and you are smart. And now you're like this full grown woman who is going to college.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that dynamic definitely did put a lot on me. And I mean, it wasn't all you that like froze me in time. Yeah. And I mean, this is another episode talking about that whole process. But I think that our dynamic definitely did have a very large role in my coming of age and like becoming independent, which I think did happen later, just because with everything that happened with our parents, losing our dad, losing our grandparents, just having us, like just having the four of us, I definitely did see you as a mom, sister, as a parent figure for a lot of my life.
Yeah. And I think that's something that mom definitely said a lot was which was like, she was always really conscious of Nadia being manipulative and Issa doing what Nadia wants to do.
Yeah.
And then I think I know that there were some times later where it was like, everybody thinks you would always say, everybody thinks I just want to do it because you did it, but that's not even true, blah, blah, blah.
I will say for a few years, it might have been unconsciously true that like I would just follow you. But I feel like we grew up flying, 6 hours, 3,000 miles away multiple times a year, where like we would have to get on a plane.
Yeah.
And become friends with the flight attendants because it was three under 10 years old, under 10 year old girls flying for like 7 hours alone. And that was a terrifying experience. And when did we start that? How old were you?
Nine.
So you were the oldest and you were taking care of two.
Keep in mind,
so
you were four.
I was four. And so like I remember this being so much fun, which is kind of why I talked about that movie, because I remember like, and I just talked about this with mom, because I remember getting on those flights was like a highlight of my year, because I was like, this is so much fun. And I saw you as a parent figure. I just held your hand and like closed my eyes. I got to ride on the suitcases while we went through the airport. Yeah. Like I honestly, I mean, maybe I'll unpack this with my therapist and shit will come out. But like right now,
it
was fun. Like I honestly, I miss having those sister trips. I mean, we're going to Paris soon, but like those sister trips were really valuable for me. And like, I think that because we traveled so much solo together, like you guys are one of the most important aspects of my life.
I do think like it's interesting because those plane trips were so terrifying to me because it was like, I feel like I felt like if anything happened to you or Amaya, then I would get in trouble. Yeah. That's why I remember sometimes when we'll travel together with Amaya, I'll get really upset if she walks off. Because Amaya doesn't have anger issues now, but she did for a little bit. She would walk away. She would get really upset and then like walk away. And in the middle of the city, it was always really terrifying because it was like, okay, dude, if you do that, like I get in trouble. But I do have a lot of memories of us on that fucking flight. We would just watch Cartoon Network and George Lopez.
George Lopez was huge.
And like iCarly and any of the Nickelodeon late at night things on JetBlue.
So much fun. I remember one time they gave us a seat. Like there was an open row next to us and they filled the seat with bananas and cookies.
Oh my like, God. They always just felt really bad for us.
Yeah, they felt so bad for us. And JetBlue, God bless the 2010 to 2000 whatever JetBlue flight attendants that took care of us.
And who knew us.
There were flight attendants we've run into multiple times a year and they'd be like, hi! Yeah, and they deck us out.
It was literally, for context, this is because our mom lives in Portland, our dad lived in New York, and when we were still talking to him, we'd go back and forth. And I don't know if you remember this, but there was one particular baggage claim dude in Portland who knew us because mom would always like not wake up to come pick us up. So we like the whole flight would deboard. We would like be handed off from the flight attendant to the baggage claim guy. He would wait with us for 2 to 4 hours.
Yeah,
while we were just sitting there. Before the age of iPhones.
Yeah.
So before we had anything to play with when we were just staring at a fucking wall.
Yeah. I remember that.
That was what we were doing.
I remember that.
Yeah. I do think that, like, I don't know if you have this, but when I close my eyes and I think about what I look like in the mirror, I am very stuck at 9 in many ways. Yeah. Like, I think of myself as, like, 9-year-old, no boobs, short bowl cut. And not how I look like right now. And I still think that sometimes when I look in the mirror, I'm like, is that me? Like I have this kind of millisecond of registering that I'm 24.
Are you in therapy?
Yeah, I'm in therapy. Okay. And I was curious if you feel stuck at a certain age.
I feel stuck at 16. Blonde Issa phase. Yeah.
Why?
I've talked about this with my therapist too. Because I think you get stuck at the age that you experience the most trauma. Like, yeah, 16 was really hard, which we've talked about in other episodes. But
that was like the year of SA.
Yeah. And prior to that, I mean, like I said, all of the traumas that we've had, I kind of hid under this fantasy world of getting to travel with my sisters. And like, I mean, there's more to that, but you know what I mean? And also when I was with mom, I was the sister that was really open to therapy. And like, I started therapy and I started all these treatments, these, I mean, you guys make fun of like massage and reflexology, but I did all of that with mom.
And crystals.
And crystals. Like, I did all of that with mom as soon as I landed in Portland every time. Well, I feel like you guys, maybe this is why I don't have friends, but while you guys went out and like you had social lives, whereas like I really hunkered down when I got home and like would go really deep into the years that passed until 16.
Okay, wait. So when you were 16, when you were 16, I was 21 and Amaya was 19. So we were gone.
So you guys were gone.
Point. So do you think that's why it was so traumatic? Was because like suddenly you had a hard time and your sisters weren't there?
Yeah.
Not that we could
I
have
never
like
really connected that, but you're right.
Yeah.
I never connected that.
Because 16 is also, I think, the year Amaya left.
Holy shit. I never connected that.
Mind blown. Wait, you know what's also crazy though? Wait, no, 16 is older. I think for you it's four.
It was freshman and sophomore.
So 15, 16.
15, 16. Yeah.
Your second sophomore year.
Okay. No, first sophomore year.
Your first sophomore
Lincoln.
Year. Okay, yeah, so 16. Yeah, because that was like the first year both of us were gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was curious about that because I sometimes think about like with my, when I've talked to therapists about it, where it's like, you know, I'd be like, I don't understand why mom thinks I have this relationship with Issa. Like, I know she's grown. And then I think it was my current therapist who was like, okay, but what age do you see yourself at and where were your sisters at that time? And if you think of yourself as stuck at that point, then you probably still think of your sisters stuck at the age that you were at that point, which is where I think like, I do think I see you as a friend mostly because, I mean, one, I don't really have other friends. And even if I do, like, you're obviously the person I'm closest with. But I think another part is like, you will all, like, whenever there's a big moment of you, for example, getting ready to go to college or taking your college ID, I still feel very like, oh, my baby sister. You know, like, it's mind-boggling to me that you're going to college.
Yeah. It honestly is mind-boggling for me, too. After that last year, I really thought I was never leaving high school.
Yeah, you had a rough college application process. Yeah. But you got your roommate today.
I did get my roommate today.
Which is super exciting.
Really exciting. And she reached out to me because, honestly, she had to call the housing and, like, anyways. Yeah.
Okay, so she figured it all out.
Yeah, she figured it all out.
I'm going to be so
emotional.
Maybe
we'll be really good together. She seems like the person that will figure it all out.
Yeah, so you can follow it. Okay, wait. So before we came on this podcast, I was looking at online about the oldest child syndrome, middle child, and youngest child syndrome. And I want to read them to you and hear what you think.
The subway was really funny. Everyone around us was like, what the fuck?
Because we were laughing so hard. Okay, so according to parents.com, it says it's easy for ambitious firstborns to become perfectionists. After all, they see adults coloring inside the lines and pouring milk without spilling because the parents
Who's
are like
parents.
It just says like your in general parents. Context here would be like mom being scared of like killing me by being a bad parent because I was like the first kid she ever babysat. So being like overly protective and careful. So to this end, they may resist pouring their own milk or coloring on their own because they don't want to make mistakes. Perfectionist oldest child traits also mean firstborns may have trouble admitting when they're wrong. It's difficult to see how firstborns can become so tightly wound. New to their parenting roles, first-time parents can be overprotective and tentative while being strict and demanding. It can lead to oldest child syndrome. What do you think?
Is that like a diagnosable syndrome?
I don't think so, but it's like something psychologists study. Do you think I'm a perfectionist?
In some aspects of life.
Like, I feel like I'm an overachiever. Like, I have very high standards for myself. Like, I'm obsessed with, like, achievement to an unhealthy degree.
Yes. Agreed. However, in the ways of like organizing your closet. You're not a perfectionist.
You are.
I am. That's where I am.
But why do you think you are? Because like life is messy.
Because I had the time to. And also like our family grew up like. Well, I mean, had the time to. Like, you guys left so early. I had to take care of mom in the house. Like, yeah. You know? But, I mean, even with that, maybe that's why. Because you guys were so messy growing up.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save money on your insurance? Of course you would. After all, who wouldn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all of the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
This show is part of the Pro Democracy Podcast Coalition. I think most of us agree that in a functioning democracy, the winner should be determined by the voters. Well, that almost didn't happen in 2020. Now extremists are working to intimidate and replace nonpartisan election workers with quote-unquote yes men who might reject election results. The only thing that will stop them is us. We've partnered with the grassroots pro-democracy organization, Represent Us, to give you the tools you need to protect free and fair elections. Learn more and get involved. Visit represent.us/pod to learn more.
Wait, I have an unrelated question.
Yeah.
I feel like I've always put a lot of pressure on myself to make money, mm-hmm. to like make money and be financially stable because I didn't have like an older sister to fall back on or a parent to fall back on. And we've talked about this a lot recently, which is like the mom you grew up with is very different than the mom I grew up with because like the mom I grew up with did not have any money, had negative money. And so I was always like, okay, I need to overwork. I need to make money. The mom you have is like on her feet, like has a business.
Nadia and Amaya left the house and then we moved to the suburbs with 2-bedroom house full, got a dog. There's 2.5, like if we moved into a family home after you guys left.
Yeah, we lived in like a bachelor's 1-2 bedroom.
Mom got a sports car. Oh, yeah. Billy Bob was such a good car.
Though. Yeah, until it broke. So... I feel like I always had this drive around like my career because it was a survival tactic. Do you have that? Or do you like
to a certain degree? Yeah. I don't have it as much as you where it's like, if I don't get this job, I'm going to die and starve. Like, because I feel like that's your mindset around it.
Yeah.
I'm much more, I do know that I have the safety of you and I know that I have, you know, you guys to fall back on. Like I feel like for me, that has actually helped me grow my business. Like, I mean, I do remember when we were under the poverty line, living with Mark and David. And I feel like that experience honestly has impacted us all in a way that like we've talked about this before where we're like, I don't want to struggle again.
Yeah.
And like, that's why we work so hard is because it kind of comes from a scarcity mindset of like, I never want to experience that again. And I don't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you have it consciously, like when something isn't going your way or when you think about your career, you're like, oh, yeah, I could succeed or I could.
No, I have the mindset of like it'll happen.
Like you're confident it will.
Yeah. If it's meant to happen, it'll happen. And if I don't want to do something, I don't do it. Whereas I feel like you are like, if you don't want to do something, you're like, I have to do it.
Yeah.
No, if I don't want to do something, I won't do it.
I do think that that's something that like. Always boggled my mind around academics with you. And I feel like I definitely was a tiger parent to you for a while and still kind of am. Where like around extracurriculars, especially when I was approaching high school, I had to do all these clubs, even if I hated it, like Model United Nations, mock trial. And then I was like, Issa, why aren't you captain of mock trial? And you were like, because I don't like it. And it was like mind boggling to me.
I feel like, okay, so that was actually a really interesting transition for me going into high school because I saw you and Amaya go through that. You guys were all over the yearbooks. Like you guys came home with yearbooks and you were in every single club photo.
Yeah.
So going into a high school, I mean, okay, let's start when I transferred into the high school that you guys went to because prior to that was a different story. Yeah. Like going into a new high school, I definitely had the mindset of like, I have to do the same thing. I have to follow in the Okamoto name. I had teachers stopping me in the hallway being like, you're an Okamoto. Like you're the last Okamoto. I remember registering for classes and like Amaya's art was sprawled on the wall. Yeah. And like your book was in every classroom. So like I had a name to follow. And so like it wasn't so much of I need to achieve, I need to be the leader of this. It was more like I need to fill the shoes. And so it took a few months and I did do that for a few months. I ran 4 tables at the club fair. I showed up to musical theater auditions and tryouts. I got a role. I tried mock trial. I got roles in mock trial. I did MUN. Like I signed up for the things that you did.
And then you
I feel like that was somewhat of us transitioning out of the whole minion phase we were talking about earlier. Yeah. Like I wanted to be you. So I tried and I crashed. I crashed. Like, do you remember this? Like I crashed 6 months into school. I really couldn't get out of bed. I was so exhausted. It wasn't working for me. And so I sat down with my counselor and I was like, I just like oversigned up for things. And we cut back. And then after I did that and found what I was really passionate about, I started thriving in school. And I feel like that was really important for me.
Yeah.
Just to not only just like to individualize myself, but also for our relationship, realizing like, oh, I don't need to fill my sister's shoes. And I feel like that's kind of a youngest sister trope of like following in your footsteps. But that was that was kind of a huge turning point for me, realizing that like I can't be you and I'm not you.
Yeah.
And I'm not Amaya. And like I can't fill your shoes, so I'm gonna make my own.
Yeah. And
which I did.
And you feel like you have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aww. I mean, that is another aspect of achievement is that I was like, I have to create my own shoes. So I was like, okay, well, what can I do that they didn't? Yeah. So like that is another trope of one also being Asian.
Yeah.
Like we had to be the stars of the show. Well, and which I take literally because I chose music. I started performing in all the assemblies, of course, prior to COVID. I started the a cappella club, the glee club. I took the music route. I became known. I told everyone that I was an opera singer, invited them to like my shows. Like so I took a route that our school hadn't seen before. And so I think, you know, it was a process.
Which I also feel like it's like the results of having mom is not a tiger mom in the typical sense of a tiger mom.
I know we've talked about this before.
It's much more in the like we exactly what you said. It wasn't pressure to get like straight A's. That was like a bare minimum. It was more like, oh, like what path are you doing that nobody else has done because you're passionate about it, which I'm very thankful for.
It was like an artistic tiger mom take.
Yeah.
Have we talked about the body systems thing?
No.
Like I feel like a whole kind of example of the way that mom raised us was when we were growing up, instead of having lectures and sit down conversations about don't smoke, don't drink, don't do drugs. Do you remember what she did? No. She took the three of us. She drove us to Seattle or something and took us to an open museum of like the body museum where they would show like skinned skeletons and bodies that were donated for science who have smoked, who have drank, like pregnancies that have been through like substance abuse, like all of it. And they were real humans. And so instead of being like, don't smoke, she showed us some black lung encased in this glass.
Like that's what will happen like, if you
that's,
smoke.
Like, she was just like, that's what happens. And like, so it was just like, do you remember this?
Yeah. It's like Tiger Parent in the way where it was like, it wasn't just like punishment. She was like, I will scare you.
And it wasn't punishment. She didn't with me.
No, she did. Mom tried to punish me. Like, it was always really funny because mom
just
would be
had
like,
her hands full.
You're grounded. And then I'd be like fighting about it. And then the next day she would like be working. So she would always ground me and then have no capacity to actually enforce the grounding.
I mean, mom had 2 other daughters to take care of she was dealing with one of them.
Who were crashing too.
Who were crashing.
Okay. Going to the youngest child characteristics, because apparently I definitely have oldest child syndrome. Another part of oldest child syndrome I feel like is the pressure to like be first, obsession with like the achievement side. But I also think a lot of it is like not being able to get out of the caretaker mode, which is funny because then I crashed and really needed to have caretaking.
Yeah.
Whole other thing. Anyways.
Which is kind of, we switched roles for a little bit then.
Yeah, we did.
We switched roles for a little
then,
bit.
Parents.com, youngest child characteristics. Since they are no longer first-time parents, parents tend to let things slide once the last child comes along. As a result, lastborns usually get away with more than their older siblings do.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
They shoulder.
I can attest that yes, is true.
Around everything. Sex, drugs, alcohol, everything.
Yeah.
Grades. They shoulder less responsibility, so the youngest child tends to be carefree, easygoing, fun-loving, affectionate, and sociable, and they like to make people laugh. Which you think is you only like to make your family laugh. Mm-hmm. But being the youngest isn't all roses because lastborns view their older siblings as bigger, faster, and smarter.
Okay.
They may attempt to differentiate.
It says that, Nadia.
Yeah. Being lastborns view their older siblings as bigger, faster, and smarter. They may attempt to differentiate themselves by being more rebellious.
Yeah.
You did do that.
I did do that.
And wait, let me see. Lastborns have an I'll show them attitude. And if older siblings baby the baby, lastborns might be spoiled and manipulative. Accurate?
Yeah.
Parts of it.
No, that all sounded really fucking accurate.
Definitely accurate around you got away with a lot. Like, I remember always being so upset. Like, how come Issa doesn't really have a curfew? How come Issa gets to phone so early? Issa gets to go out. Issa gets
no,
to date.
No, now I can attest to this because I kept an open line of communication with mom, which you guys did not.
Okay,
sometimes there was some sort of self-sabotage too. Like with you and Amanda's relationship with mom, it is so different. Like every time I bring up that I really want to get this mom tattoo, you're like, ew, why would you guys do that? Why would you do that? Whereas I have a completely different relationship with mom because not even once you guys left, but prior to when you left, like my mom's my ride or die.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you also look like mom.
Yeah, and I look like mom.
Like I feel
which
like
I think might have an impact on how she sees me.
No, I definitely think that. Well, part of it too is that I think that because I definitely am more stubborn than you. Like you're very flexible.
For certain things.
For certain things. But I mean like with mom and I fought in a different way than you and mom fight. Like you and mom have fought before, but it's always in like a mom is busy and do you guys ever fight?
Well, the big fights that we have are notable. Like oh, that one time. Whereas I feel like you guys.
We just were
mixed.
Always
like,
fighting.
Y'all were always fighting. Yeah.
And I feel like even you say whenever we all get in a car together, I'm still on edge. Like, oh my God, mom and I are going to fight. Like mom and I were always fighting. And it was always about me like disrespecting.
But I feel like that has a lot to do with the fact that mom had you so young.
Yeah.
That she kind of grew up with you.
Well, and I also did not see her as like an authority parent figure. Like to me, I think in the most brutal way, I had a lot of anger and I was like, if you were a grown parent, this wouldn't be happening, which is an unfair thing to put on her.
No, I know. And I feel like you were kind of daddy's girl.
Oh, I was 100%
you were daddy's girl. And considering who our dad was, he had a lot of say in the relationship that you kind of put on mom.
Well, and he definitely triangulated of like, you guys are poor because mom is irresponsible. Like there was definitely like a lot of false triangulation.
And
but
not
all
because
that to say,
he didn't follow up on any of the bills he was supposed to pay or
part I didn't know. Like but I think it's meant that like you had a very different relationship with mom and you also didn't always get away with everything. Like I never drank or smoked in high school and you
did
get away
but
with it.
It kicked me in the ass.
But not
like
because
I got
mom
away
kicked
it.
You in the ass.
No,
because
it literally crashed me. And mom was like, oh no. Like, now I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think you and mom are the most similar?
Again, in certain ways. I mean, it was only the four of us growing up.
Because she's the youngest too.
Well, I know, but I'm saying like in certain ways, all of us are like each other. I mean, okay. Yes, short answer. But also, having grown up with literally the four of us, I feel like when we say, our family's really small, people don't understand that we did not like it was just the four of us.
There's no grandparents.
No grandparents. We did not have a relationship with our uncles or aunts or cousins. Like it was just us. And I feel like people don't understand that. And so when you ask me that question, I'm like, we're all really mixed of each other, but in like very opposite ways. But overall, yes, I was like mom.
When I was reading the youngest child syndrome description, it made me think about how much Blue, I think, saved you in many ways. Don't cry. Yeah. Blue, our family dog, which is also our pandemic puppy, which very much was adopted under the pretense of this is Issa's dog.
People who follow me on TikTok know that Blue saved my life.
Yeah, Blue saved your life. But a lot of these things around like youngest children, like you get away with a lot of things. You shoulder a lot of less responsibility and like not really being taught that responsibility and caretaking.
Blue saved me from that because when you guys left, I honestly lost my sense of the world.
Yeah.
But I feel like Blue brought me back in a way that taught me the things that I didn't know when you guys were around, like responsibility.
But like, because I think you did have to do some caretaking of like Amaya, but it was just like a different dynamic.
Yeah, that was kind of just required caretaking. It wasn't like
love caretaking.
No, it was. It was just kind of like I had rules set out. You know, we've talked about this before, like we had to go into a clinic and they'd lay out the things that I'd need to do. So, I mean, the first time that I really felt our dynamic shift, and Helen told me this too, our energy therapist, I changed the course of our lineage.
Yeah.
When I basically screamed at Agoon.
That
was like a huge turning point for not only our sisterhood, but for like
was it
our
like
children.
A confidence boost for you?
I was just pissed. But yeah, overall, like I left that trip being like, good fucking riddance.
Yeah.
And a realization of the power that I did have.
Okay, I have a follow-up question.
What?
Have you ever wanted a younger sibling?
No.
Really? You very much enjoy being
a dog mom.
A dog mom.
Blue is my son.
Like, do you want kids?
No.
Really? Ever?
Are you surprised?
You never want a child.
Are you surprised? We've talked about this.
I'm kind of surprised.
Really?
Like you just want to be a dog mom forever.
I want to build a pit bull sanctuary.
So you don't
want
to...
No, like I really want to build a pit bull sanctuary. Where like I... Like that is also a huge motivator for me making money.
So you can have a pit bull sanctuary.
Well, that requires... Because they're pit bulls. And a lot of pit bulls require a lot of trading and guidance. And that is not because of... Why? Because they're pit bulls. Like, it's not like, if anything, dogs are so much nurture over nature, and pit bulls are an example of that. Because my statistics project, my final stats project was about pit bulls. There's a, like, I think it's something like 98% of the homeless dog population are pit bulls, and like they get treated so poorly that they become aggressive. And while they do have the history of being fight dogs, so like they have that kind of genetic makeup of lockjaw and things like that, those are real. Like, those are such easily trained things that people don't invest in.
Would it be like a pit bull breeder? Would you be
No. There's so many pit bulls out there that
it'd be for like all the turned over pit bulls.
Yeah. I mean not turned over pit bulls, but like I would be the place that turns over pit bulls. Like I would hire Zach George, the trainer. You don't know him. That's a different side of social media.
Different side of TikTok.
he's like a,
wait, so you don't want any kids. Like when you you talk about with certain exes, we'll get married and
I'll
have
kids with certain exes.
So okay, with the right person.
Yeah, with the right person. But I would still have a lot of dogs.
Okay. Sibling wise, do you feel this
what
is kind
this
of,
episode about?
No, I'm just curious because like I feel like I've always wanted more siblings. Like I've always wanted like additional little brothers and little sisters.
Exactly. But would you want to be a little sister? Like, you want to stay your ground in where you're
in
the sister lineage, right?
It's not
right?
even that. Like, I cannot even imagine what it's like to have an older sibling.
Okay, exactly. I don't want a younger sister, but I would gladly take on... I already have. I feel like Henry and Zach are new older siblings.
Mm.
Like, I would gladly take on more older siblings, but younger siblings, I'm like, take care of yourself.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, we have so much more to talk about and I have a lot more questions. We're going to end now. However, we are going to stay here for another 40 minutes and record another episode that will come out next week. So definitely stay tuned. And I love you, Issa. I'm happy that we're not in what you call the minion phase anymore. And I'm really proud of the woman that you've become.
I love you.
Love you. Bye, y'all.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.